Hello, good morning. Just let me move this. My cats are officially, the Real Skills of Weight Loss board that I keep in my office. It's their new toy. If you look at the back of it, it is shredded and they take it off the flip chart every day and they shred it. I'm just like, what is wrong with you two? We got two of the craziest animals ever when we got these kitties. All right. Let's see who else here. Good morning, Gloria. And let me get my participants up. I hope y'all are having a good day. We are going to be today talking about the pause when it comes to our thinking, which I think is very important. I wanted to give y'all an update on a couple things I'm working on. Yasmin, who's our content creator, she works side by side with me on things. She was here for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, and we wrote a brand new program that we'll be releasing. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be releasing a little bit later this year, but yesterday we did all of it. It is the foundational work to what we're going to call the next evolution to the basics. So, for all of you, I can't really tell you everything that's going to happen, but it's going to be in the fall. But we are going to be taking our Well, I'll tell you one concept that we're going to be talking a lot about. It's called protective eating. So, if you've been using the basics, and we've already talked a lot about it inside a lot of our weekly Q&As, I've already been kind of these concepts are in No BS in various forms, but they're going to be formalized for all of you. But protective eating is one of two things. We are not able to wait for hunger, or we are not able to stop it enough, or we are unable to follow our plan for one of two major reasons. One is our brain is perceiving we are in some type of mortal danger. So that comes from past diet attempts. Very often it comes from diets where you had to cut out foods that your body actually needs. Where you cut out a lot of calories, like Weight Watchers is notorious, is one of them where a lot of you have been on Weight Watchers before and you have days where you seem to have enough points. You have days where your body is extra hungry. You cannot meet its needs because the calories or the points are not available to you. Maybe you exercise a lot and it's not scaling appropriate for you. So your body had a body trauma, perceived that diet as harmful, dangerous, something going wrong. So, a lot of times when you try to wait for hunger or stop it enough, your body is having, it's like a misfire. It's thinking, oh God, we're doing it again. Even though intellectually we all know in No BS it's very different, our emotional side of our brain is not on board yet. The emotional side is like, you gotta fucking protect ourselves. Like, at all costs. And we want that to happen. Like, what we don't want is a donkey butt, like brain. This is like, oh, just do whatever you want. Who cares about mortal danger? Like I'll never stop you from doing something dangerous. You want that protective mechanism in check. The problem is that we haven't been taught when is it misfiring? When is it overactive? What are the signs of that? What does it look like so that we can catch it and then use the intellectual side of our brain to help ourselves? So the other side is called psychological traumas, which all of us have. If you've ever done a diet, you got psychological trauma. And if you're a walking human with feelings, you have psychological trauma. Now, this does not, like, when a lot of times we use the word trauma, people automatically think this must be like, I got beat downs as a kid or whatever that is. We're not talking about big T trauma. What we're really talking about is very often we do a lot of protective eating when we haven't been taught how to be bored. When we are, like, especially as women, one of the biggest ways that we do protective eating is we are raised in a society, especially if you're like in your 50s and 60s in particular, we were kind of the first generation to where we were supposed to have it all. We are supposed to have the job and the career. Plus, we need to raise the kids and we need to take care of the house. We're like that generation that kind of got caught in now women just have to do everything. Like that's the like definition of success. And so your brain Now, when you want to give rest to yourself, can't tolerate it. It thinks it should be more productive. It feels guilty. It has an inability to not be overwhelmed and busy. It's like, it's almost like we get caught in the loop of thriving through busy. We get messages all through our life that the more productive you are, the more valuable you are. And so we do a lot of protective eating on the emotional side to, it's the only way we know how to give ourselves breaks. So like for a lot of you, this looks like I do good all day. As long as I'm being productive, as long as I'm busy, as long as I have this idea that I am contributing and doing things, I'm fine. I can control my food. But the moment things settle down, I can't take it. So our brain wants us to eat as a way to say, you have to take a break. And if you're not going to give yourself one, I will ask for overeating. I will ask for binges. I will ask for ice cream. I will do all these things in an effort to make sure your basic human needs are actually getting met. This is the way that I do this. So when I've been thinking about No BS and like this month where we're talking about, you know, leveling up our thoughts one at a time, I've really been studying and trying to figure out what, like, other than teaching you the basics, what do you need to know behind the basics for when they're not working so we can start filling those holes? Because the one thing I hear often, and I know it's true, and I get it, and like when I look at my own history, I had to kind of figure out where in my own history was I filling my holes and just didn't know I was doing it, is the basics are simple. I think we all agree that if you just look at them on paper, wait until you're hungry. Well, okay, that's pretty simple. I may not know my hunger cues and stuff, but like it makes sense as a human would do it. Like if you were going to teach your kids, you would just be like, well, here's how we eat. Just wait until you're hungry. Hey, when you think you've had enough, just stop. Like no one's like, it's so complicated eating, 6-year-old, you know, like, hunger's really tricky. I don't know. Like we don't teach our kids that because we understand fundamentally that how to eat. It's like, well, eat the things you want, but you know, you kind of want to balance. Like sometimes you want to have ice cream and cake. Sometimes we want to be eating vegetables because they are good for us. And they are, you know, part of what gives us energy and stuff. So like, when we think about our, like the basics, they're not complicated. It's something we would teach a child to do, but they're not easy. And what the next evolution is fixing to be is addressing what makes them not easy to implement. Because intellectually, they're simple to understand, but emotionally, they can feel really hard. And so I'm going to be teaching y'all second half of this year why these things feel hard to us, what goes on, why it's so normal. There is a reasonable explanation behind all of it. None of us are broken. Like literally everything that I'll be giving you is it'll just be like, oh, that makes 100% sense. Now I understand why this has been a problem. And then once we understand what's really getting in our way, those deeper things. And when I say deep rooted things, this is what no one should be hearing. Oh my God, we're going to sit around and cry and feel our feelings and like unearth scary things about our past. And, you know, I'm going to think horrible thoughts about people that I don't want to admit. And I'm going to have to look at all my faults and flaws. That is not what we're doing. We're going to be looking at these deeper rooted things around just our eating, not even where they're coming from, but we're going to give explanations as to just, this is why this happens. This is a normal brain function. And it, like when we plug these holes, losing weight just gets exponentially easier. And there's not one thing that I have uncovered in all of my research that says, well, now this one right here, that bitch is broken. Like, I'm not going to be presenting a bunch of shit to y'all and saying like, if you identify with this, you're in the broken club. You might as well like just give up your weight loss. That's not the case. So when y'all start learning this stuff, we start doing this stuff, it's going to make a lot of sense. It's going to make things easier. And what we're doing now, all of the things that we've been teaching you the first half of the year and teaching you how to level up your thoughts are going to help you with all of that stuff. Like, this stuff is really going to help you when that comes along, because it is so natural for all of us to want to beat ourselves up for what we call perceived flaws. Okay. On cue, if you can't hear it, the lawnmower guy is right behind my window. He's like, oh, it's like, it's time for Wednesday Q&A. Let's get the lawn blower out and all the things. Tell you what, I wish that we could pick our day when the people come, but they don't allow that. And that blows a goat. All right, let me pull up our content for today. As usual, Kathy is on stage today. She will be in the Q&A. So if you have any questions that you would like answered, this is your time to get a coach to answer some questions. So you could pop, and you can pop anything you want in there. It does not necessarily have to apply to today. If there's something that applies to today's topic, which is the power of pausing and weight loss, I'll probably answer it. If it's something random, something that you are just like, hey, I'm here, I might as well get my answer, you know, right now, you can go ahead and pop that in there for Kathy to answer. Blows a goat is the greatest of all time. Yeah. My brother and I have said blows goats forever. And I swear to God, I think it came from Mammy. I don't know if it came from Mammy or my brother, but my whole family talks about it blows goats. All right. Let me give you a couple of previews real quick. So today we are continuing on our monthly series of losing weight one thought at a time. There is a guide over in the website. Kathy will post the link inside of the chat where you can go to find the monthly focus. It's in the menu. If you just look for the courses and monthly focus, you'll find it. There is a guide that you can have there also to losing one thought at a time. We've given you like tons of new things to think, all kinds of stuff that you can use to just help you feel better. Next month, we have something exciting, like other than camp, like it is the body image camp. And I'm just going to tell y'all, there is some great stuff happening at that camp. You are not going to want to miss it. And it is not just for people who are just like, I look in the mirror and hate what I see. That's part of it. But it's also going to be a lot of work on being friends with your body as it's aging, as it, when it gets sick, when you feel like your body is a disappointment, when you don't like how it looks, if you are afraid of what it's going to look like after weight loss. Just think about all the things I bitch about. I made sure to include all of that shit inside there. And I will just tell all of you, in particular, for those of you who are in the aging body category, I am like walking alongside you now. There's not a day that goes by that Corinne doesn't look in the mirror and be like, where the fuck did that wrinkle come from? What the hell? That thing looks like it fell 3 inches overnight. Like, I get it. And what we want to do is at this body image camp is we want to make peace with the aging body. It cannot be the only story that we tell. As women, guess what? We are not just our body. We are caring human beings. We are good friends. We are amazing mothers and grandmothers and wives and all the things. Like, there are career women. We are more than our body. And so what I will be teaching you is by the time you leave, you will have a greater appreciation for you as a whole. Because I think a lot of us think that we have to love our body. And that is one of the most toxic things that is going on right now in the world, is this whole love your body message, in my opinion. We are not meant to love something all the time. Here's how I know. If you're religious, give me a thumbs up. Somebody in here is religious. All right. Because I was like, Kathy should at least give me a thumbs up. She's like the most Catholic person I fucking know. All right. Has something tragic ever happened in your life where you got mad at God? The person who loves you no matter what. Now, give me a thumbs up if you have children and they can be of the furry or the human. Supposedly, we unconditionally love these little fuckers, right? But how many of you have been tempted to want to leave them at Target when they act like the asshole? How many of you have had a fleeting thought that just says, that little asshole, I can't believe they came from my vagina? Like, we all are disappointed in things that we supposedly unconditionally love. It is a natural human response. But when we are taught we are supposed to just love our body no matter what, it is the impossible standard. So then anytime we're not loving our body, we think we're doing something wrong. And so we're going to talk a lot about how, like, it is okay to fucking be disappointed in things at times. We want to grow our tolerance for disappointment and not turn it into anger, seething, obsession. Like, that's the part we want to get rid of. And we also want to learn how to see things more balanced. And that's why, like, this month was really important for all of you. If I don't care if it comes to your eating or loving your body, we have to learn how to change our thoughts one little step at a time, because we have to quit having unrealistic expectations and standards for how we should be thinking. Like when you have, like, I should think this way, you've lost the battle right there. You've lost. You're shouldn't all over yourself. There is nothing anyone should be thinking, and there's nothing anyone shouldn't ever think either. All thoughts are normal, natural, and they're going to come in automatically, whether you accept it or not. So it's a lot easier to go through life accepting that your thoughts are going to come in. So next month, one of the two things that are going on next month that are exciting is No BS Body Image Camp. Virtual tickets are still available. Make sure you get them. I think there might be a few in-person tickets left. I'm not 100%. I know September camp is completely sold out. There may be a few in-person tickets left for this one, but you might want to think about getting that virtual ticket. It is, like, a good show, number one. It is not cheaply done. I don't do anything fucking busted ass. You get your swag, and I will entertain you. You will change and stuff, but for those of you who sit around worrying that it's like a Zoom call, it ain't your mama's fucking Zoom call. It is a show. It is a 3-day event. And even if you can't attend live, you're going to want the replays, because all the people, especially for the people who attend live, one of the things they do is they watch it over and over again. So it doesn't matter if you go in live time. You just want to make sure that you have that for yourself. If you struggle with self-acceptance, your body, your image, and all the things. And the other thing we're doing next month, which is brand new, is Judith Catan is coming in. And she is a style coach. She's a good friend of mine. She is going to be doing a takeover next month. And one of the things I really meant a lot to me is when y'all are a No BS woman, you deserve more than just me bitching at you every week about how to lose weight. Like, if you really just want someone to just only talk to you about your food and your weight, go to Weight Watchers, go to Noom, go to your local gym. You have plenty of that in the world. Here's what you don't have. You don't have a place that is going to help you feel good in the body you have now while you're working on your weight loss. And Judith is a master at that. She is a stylist. And one of the things that I heard over and over again from all of you that you really wish you had is advice on how to dress the body you have now as you're working on your future body. Rather than waiting until the end to feel good and give it clothes that fit right and all this other stuff, you wanted a way to feel good now. So she's going to be talking about, like how to dress your body at any size, how to create a wardrobe that can kind of go with you along the ride where it won't be super expensive. She's got an amazing month planned for all of you. And she will be doing the Wednesday calls every week. And this will be like a master class on just how to dress yourself. Now, this is not like how to dress bougie like Corinne class. This is not all about sexy. It's more about finding your unique style so that you're comfortable so that your clothes are not triggering you to feel like lazy, you don't take care of yourself, you're too big, you have to wait and earn your way to feeling better in your clothes. This is a real masterclass on this stuff. So I gave her a lot of information on what was the most requested, and she's the best one to teach it. I wanted you to have a master stylist teaching you who's also a master life coach, not just Corinne coming in here and saying like, well, here's where I order my hoochie wear. No one needs any more links to my hoochie wear. You know, I only order things from like about three places. So, all right, let's talk about the power of pausing when it comes to your thoughts and weight loss. The first thing is we have to like really understand, which I talked to you about a minute ago. You cannot control the thoughts coming in your head. Everybody repeat after me. Thou shalt not wish thoughts away anymore. Thou shalt not wish thoughts away anymore. That is debilitating. It is frustrating. And it is impossible. It is the impossible ask. Your brain is going to send you thoughts for the rest of your life. And it's the habit brain runs 95% of your show. You cannot control what's going to come through your brain. You cannot control the triggers. So this is like one of the things that happens with your mind. All of the, what we call the old shitties, the duder thoughts, they come from this automatic part of your brain. The part that makes sure you're breathing. It knows to pump the blood, get the heart going. It also is the one that stores all the shitty thoughts. It's the habit center. It's the one that, like, if you're just driving, say you're going to work, but you're supposed to be going to Target. And they're on the same route, but you got to take a left and then you normally take a right. The habit brain is the one that's like, oh, are we still going to work? We're on the same road as we always travel. And then it takes you the wrong way. And you're like, oh, fuck, I was supposed to turn back there. Forgot I was going to Target. Your habit brain is the one that's on repeat, repeat, repeat. It does not have any reasoning skills. It just gets a trigger. It thinks it's supposed to send a thought. And it just does it. So wishing you didn't think certain ways is impossible because your brain has spent an entire lifetime taking and hard coding into your brain certain smells, certain sounds, certain feelings, experiences, different things, and saying like, when this happens, send up this thought. When this happens, send up this thought. So if, let's say you're walking down the Target, let's say you actually get to Target, you make your UE after you done checked out and followed the habit brain halfway to work and be like, oh fuck, I went the wrong way. Now we're in Target and we're just pushing our button and we're just looking for shit and you know, buying everything we weren't supposed to be buying. We come in for a stick of gum and we're leaving with $120 worth of shit we didn't even need. So our brain thinks, you know, girl, you really let yourself go. I mean, I don't know how you show up at the Target looking like the way you do. And that's kind of the story we tell ourselves every day. And so you walk down the aisle and you're getting your shit and somebody looks at you and goes like that. Just a simple, normal human runs their eyes up and down your body because all humans scan other human bodies. Here's your automatic brain. They think I'm fat. I'm too big for the aisle. I shouldn't have ate that shit last week. I really should get my shit together. All because our brain got triggered to tell us a story about our weight because we keep saying we want to lose weight. We keep saying, I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I'm desperate to lose weight. But the only way we've ever tried to lose weight is talking negative to ourselves. So when somebody takes a normal look, we hard code in our head, our automatic thinking is yell at her. This is the cue. This is the time we should go ham on you because we're just really trying to motivate you to do the thing you say you want. But your brain only knows how to talk like an asshole. Why? Because year after year after year, you've never stopped the thought. You've never tried a new kind of thinking. You've just allowed it. So all of those thoughts are going to come up automatically forever. That's just what's going to happen. What you have to do is you have to release or drop the struggle with those thoughts. We have to. Oh, somebody asked, what is ham? Hard as a motherfucker. I'm like showing my probably my 90s hip hop roots in that moment. But what we want to do is we have to release this struggle we have with our automatic thinking. We have to make peace with this idea. You know, these thoughts are going to come in, but they don't define me. They don't control me. What they are is noted. They are now heard and they are now seen. So instead of these thoughts are bad, it's now these thoughts are heard and seen. Instead of these thoughts, I'll never lose weight having these thoughts. The blower dude is literally right outside my window. I don't know if y'all can hear him, but I'm like yelling over him. So we have to hear like that thought and say like, okay, these thoughts don't define me. This is not who I am. These are the thoughts that I'm going to now use as a new trigger to talk in a new way. That is how all of it works. Somebody asked, does camp help you make peace with your face? Only if your face is part of your body. If you got a busted pinky toe, then we will help you make peace with a busted pinky toe. All right. So we want to make sure that step one is release the desire and the need for the thoughts to go away. Because the only reason why you want them to go away is you think they make you feel bad. Thoughts don't make you feel bad unless they're uninterrupted. Now, if you're like, oh, that's right, I am a lazy fuck. Yeah, you're going to feel bad. But if the thought comes in and you get so good at hearing it and you say, like, hey, I am not a lazy fuck. I just sometimes don't work out. Hey, I'm not a lazy fuck. Just sometimes I have a hard time getting myself going. Like, I just want you to listen to how different that feels. And that's why the power of one thought at a time is so good. So, step one, we no longer argue with our thinking. We now are like, noted. I hear it. I want to be on, like, I want to be like, I want to hear all of it. One of the things I really treasure about myself, and this is one of the things that's going into the fall camp for Queen of Your Life, is the thing that really changed for me was the ability to hear my own thinking about my flaws, the things that are wrong with me, the things I don't like about me. I used to hear those things and just believe them 100%. And I used to hear those things and then make a conclusion that because I thought these things, because these were my beliefs about me, therefore I can't do other things. And what really has changed for me is I hear these things. Thank God I do, because these, like, some of this stuff's true and I want to change it. Just like one thing that I worked on when it came to Chris is, you know, for the first part of our marriage, I don't think I was a great wife. In fact, we were watching a show, watching The Shield from back in the day, and there's a character on there that is, she is a whiny, emotionally manipulative bitch. She is just like a whiny, emotionally manipulative bitch all the time. And I looked at Chris, I think it was 2 nights ago, and I said, oh my God, I was just like her. Like when we were first together, I was like, I don't know how you stuck with me. I was like, I was so emotionally manipulative. I started arguments when I felt threatened. So that was like, no, you need to hurt more than me so I can make sure, like to feel safe. Like I did all kinds of bullshit. And when I finally started recognizing that, instead of beating myself up over it, I'm like, thank God I am starting to see my own flaws. Thank God I'm seeing the things because I want to change this. And you can't change what you can't see. And you won't change if you judge yourself for having it. And that was like big in our marriage. Same thing with being a mom. For years, I thought I was a terrible mother and all this other stuff. And I remember coaching with my coach, and we kind of just went through, and she asked me some tough questions. And she said, well, where's the truth in it? Where are you not being a good mother? You wouldn't be thinking it if there was not some truth to it. And it was such a good question because it really made me see I wasn't a terrible mother, but there were, like, my brain was trying to tell me, you want to be a better mother. And there are things you would like to change in your relationship with your child. But the only way it knew how to tell me was through saying, you're a terrible mother. And so instead of just believing it or ignoring it, eating over it, being angry that I was thinking it, I asked myself a very powerful question. Like, where is there truth here and what is it? Now, I will tell all of you, sometimes when you start listening to those inner thoughts about you, like, the first thing you have to do is you have, like, not only do you have to, like, drop the need for them to go away, but you also have to drop the judgment. There's nothing you're going to think, I promise you. There's probably nothing any of you think that I haven't thought. Because I have some whack thoughts that pop into this head constantly to this day. But none of them mean something's wrong with you. All of our brains say the craziest stuff. It's just like I was joking with Chris the other night. I was like, what does it mean that you and I watch all these vigilante shows, like Vigilante Justice? And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, that person, they should just go kill them. Does that mean Corinne wants to go out into the world now and, like, you know, do the purge? No. But it's so normal for our brain to just think all kinds of things that don't really mean anything about us. What's good about us as humans is we do have the ability to, like, not judge what we think, but instead examine what we think. And we've taught this when it comes to food. Like, rather than being a judge of you when you have, like, an overeat, we become the scientist. We want to take those thoughts, we want to put them on a lens, and we want to look at them through the microscope. What could they be telling us? So, like, when you are okay with all of your thoughts coming in, and then you don't judge them, you can find truth. And then a lot of times what you actually find is a lot of good too. I think when you examine them and you look for, like, what is true here and what's not true here, now we start getting into that concept we talk often about, which is the 50-50, the equal airtime. So, like, with me, the truth was with Logan that I didn't spend a lot of time with him. And something in me was saying, like, I was repelling it. And when I started realizing, like, okay, why don't I want to spend a lot of time with him? It's because when I'm with him, like, he and I don't have a lot in common. We just don't. And I would get bored. And so while I was spending time with him, I would sit there. First of all, I would want to check out because I wasn't interested in the conversations. And then I would judge myself for not being the kind of mom who just wanted to, you know, take a deep inhale every time the child farted. And when I realized, when my coach told me, part of being a mother, this is mothering when you're uninterested. Mothering is sometimes boring. Mothering is sometimes spending time with someone, even if you're not interested. That doesn't mean you're a bad mother. That is mothering. Changed everything on a dime. We go places now. Sometimes I really enjoy our conversations, and sometimes I am just sitting there like, I could care less about this topic. Doesn't make me a bad mom. It makes me a mother. And so that's why I think for a lot of you, when I think, what gifts can I give you? The gift of not judging your thinking, the gift of not judging yourself for anything that comes up for you, that is what will help you lose weight. So many of you, I want you to think about this. You can give me a thumbs up when I ask this question. How many of you think at least, just say 30% of your current eating stems from judging yourself for something or judging others and how they should be behaving and they're not meeting your expectations? Whether or not it's true or not, they should meet your expectations. But how many of you is the judgment piece really a big player in your overeating? It's not carbs. It's not sugar. We may turn to those foods, but they're not really the problem. If I wasn't judging, would I need a sleeve of Oreo? If I wasn't being hard on myself in this moment, would I eat 2 donuts? If I wasn't so pissed at my coworkers, would I go get Mexican for lunch? Like, when y'all tell me, oh no, it's really the sugar, I'm like, oh really? Let's just figure out why you really want it. Like, I would invite all of you to think about this. When you think sugar is the problem, why were you eating it to begin with? Like, because we know it's not hunger. And let's just pretend it's not because of the sugar. Why did it even come up for you? What was happening in that moment? Most of the time, it's, I don't think I can lose weight. Why bother? That's more powerful than me. Like, if you say sugar's more powerful than me, that's judging yourself. That's not the sugar being the problem. That's not the food. That you might as well, like, that's more powerful than me, or I'm a, like, that thing is what causes it. You might as well say, insert, that's like code for saying, well, I'm a weak motherfucker. Something's wrong with me. That's called judgment. That's where it's stemming from. And so for all of us in No BS, we have to rise above thinking food's the problem. Because if food is the problem, literally, if it's just food's the problem, get it out of your house, never go out to eat again, and control your life. You'll lose weight. Don't go to the grocery store. Have somebody else order your food. Like, if food's really the problem, you could control that. But then you wouldn't like your life. You'd just be like, oh, but I miss out and stuff. All right. Then food's not the problem. Even in that scenario, if you're just like, then I would miss out on things. It's like, yeah, the problem isn't the food. The problem is you're sitting around not creating the life you want. So find those deeper reasons. All right, so let's get back to our topic. I keep going down tangent lane with y'all. So when you drop the idea that automatic thinking is somehow wrong or not supposed to happen, that all thoughts are normal, all thoughts are supposed to be here for some reason, that's fine. Then we drop our judgment. Now what we want to do is we want to learn how to start taking a pause. And you can't pause and make new choices unless you're hearing your thinking. So the way we teach it is, something in the world happens, right? You have a thought about it. You may or may not hear it, but you will have a thought. And then you'll feel something. And then that feeling is going to drive an action. So our feelings and how we feel in the moment, that's what drives our actions. So it just makes sense that there are lots of places we can interrupt to be able to show up the way we want. So for a lot of you, the first part to interrupt is like, oh, I catch myself doing things. I notice a pattern of behavior So I want to figure out what's going on behind the pattern of behavior so I can change it. Then we catch ourselves in the action in the pattern. That's where we practice stopping overeats before they complete. You have until the very last bite to stop. Most of you think they have to stop before. I don't think so. I lost a lot of weight because I just got better at catching myself in the act and being like, okay. And I still do it. This is just a few days ago. I love baked chips. Like I eat baked chips every day right now. Like I probably for the last 3-4 weeks, every day, at least one meal, I have baked chips. So I've been ordering things like I'll order a sandwich or like I'll eat baked chips. Aunt JJ's been making me this very delicious egg salad. I love egg salad. And I've been eating baked chips with it. It's just like, it just feels like a good Southern meal. So we had been ordering the individual bags because that's just easier for me. Well, they didn't have them at the Publix. They only had the big bag. So we had some big bags. So I took the big bag in, you know, I eat in my bed and I'm just eating chips. There's no natural stop. So I'm just watching TV, eating chips. And no, I was not like, oh, let me scan my body. Have I had enough? No, I was in the automatic habit pattern. I mean, shit, my brain remembered eating chips out of a bag probably from my 20s. And it just went to like, okay, we're eating chips out of a bag. We're going to do it like we did it in our 20s. It just went to the very back of the, you know, big ass library of thoughts. And was like, ah, we got to go to the back room. But here's that thing we need to send up. And as I was eating, I suddenly realized, I was like, oh my God, I've ate like half a bag of chips, like a big bag. And so I remember thinking, okay, we can just wrap this up now. I'm glad we caught ourselves before we got to the end. Now, I did have one thought that was like, I bet you regret this tomorrow. And I was like, noted. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. Like rather than like, oh, I need to do a ton of thought work. I was like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I regret it in the morning. And, you know, honestly, by the next day, I didn't even think about it. One of the nice things about turning 50 is you just forget shit really easy now. Most days, I can't remember what I did the day before, but I did not remember it. If I had, I would have told myself in the moment, I would have pivoted and just said, look, you stopped eating the chips, you put them away, we are done. What are we going to do to make the best of use of today? So often, I don't dig real deep into things. The only time I dig deep into overeats and stuff is if I notice a distinct pattern erupting. If I catch myself doing it, you know, a few times a week, or it feels like it's coming back in some way, then I start looking at what's really going on here. But if it just like happens every now and then, I just chalk it up to old patterns. I'm not going to spend a lot of time working on it and massaging it. I want to spend time, and I spend an enormous amount of time focusing on what am I going to do to make the best use of my day, the one that's right in front of me. Sometimes I look back at the day before and say, like, what do I want to do better than yesterday when it's useful? But most of the time, what I find the most useful is to be like, you know what? What can we be doing today? Like, how do we make the most out of today? And that doesn't always mean being perfect. It doesn't mean doing the ideals. It doesn't mean every day is, you know, a JJ the jet plane, great day, best day ever. No, it just means like for today, knowing what I know, based on how I feel, what do I want to do to make the most of today? So what we want to do is we really want to learn to listen for our thinking. Do not judge them. Do not sit there and tell yourself that they shouldn't be here. And then as you hear them, noted, what could this be telling me? what is true here and what's not true here. One of my favorite, let me read this to you. I just saw this. It stems from, this came from one other person, but this literally was a Byron Katie thing. Hang on, I got to pull up my photos. And I'll read this to you, and y'all can use these questions. Oops. So we ask, is this thought true? Like when you hear it? Is it absolutely true with 100% certainty? Very often that question will really, like most of the time our default is going to be like, yeah, that's true. Then we want to ask, is it 100% true? A lot of times when we have to go to 100%, no wavering, we start noticing that what we're thinking, that gives us enough pause to be like, oh, not 100% true. Here's what also is true. This is where we get the wiggle room. Then the third thing is, how do I feel when I have this thought? Just understanding how sometimes your thoughts make you feel is enough for you to pause and be like, well, I don't want to feel that way. So is there any room for compassion? Is there any room for understanding? Is there any, like, can I, like, literally just say, like, this is one of those things I don't tolerate from myself anymore. A lot of, like, self beat downs comes down to, I refuse to talk to myself like this anymore. And every time this thought comes in, I'm going to practice telling my brain, hey, no, 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 we're not doing that. The fourth thing is, who would I be if I wasn't believing this thought? And the last one, I think, is the most powerful, is the turnaround, which is, what is the opposite truth of this thought? So you can either do, what is the opposite? Or like what I like to teach y'all, which is one thought at a time. What is a little, like, what is true, but a little bit different? I'm a big believer, and there's always something equally as true as the bullshit that you're thinking. Like if you eat every night and your thought is, I can't break my nighttime eating habit. And you're like, nope, that's true. And it's like, is it 100% true? The answer is probably no, because at times you've had a colonoscopy. You've, ran out of food. There's something that has probably happened in your past where you had a night where you did not eat. There is also this thought, which is equally as true. Other than I can't stop my nighttime eating, you could say, I am someone who wants to stop their nighttime eating. It just feels like I can't right now. Very different thought with a very different emotion. And a lot of times when we're changing thoughts one at a time, we are not going from hopeless to hopeful. Very often what we're doing is we are going from hopeless to open, or hopeless to disappointed. Like, I want you to think about, there are so many emotions. Sometimes we're just reaching for the next less intense negative emotion. I was reading something else this morning. Let me see if it's, I screenshot things all the time. Let me see if I screenshot it. No, I didn't. So I read this thing, but I'll tell you what it said. It was talking about being angry at yourself. And when you're angry with yourself, that is meaning that you can't meet your expectations. Like, it's got so much behind it. But when you're disappointed in yourself, disappointment means, I think I could do better. Being mad at yourself doesn't open the door to creativity. It doesn't open the door to problem solving. you're just mad. You shut down. Think about when we argue with someone and we're mad at them, we shut down. But then when we're just disappointed, we want to heal. We want to try to make things better. We have more patience when we're disappointed. So for a lot of you, like sometimes we're just moving up in our thinking. We're not trying to just feel good all the time. Sometimes we are just moving up one at a time. Y'all, when I get off this call, what I'll do, I'll post this in the Facebook group. I'll post the screenshot that I took and I'll post that in the Facebook group. So y'all can go over to the main group and you'll find it. The other thing I just want to say is make sure that when you are going to be adding pauses into your life, like, so we're going to not argue with our thoughts. We are not going to judge ourselves anymore for our thinking. We are not going to judge ourselves for anything that comes up. We're going to be looking for ways to change our thoughts a little at a time. The other thing that really helps is knowing ahead of time a lot of the decisions you have around your thinking. Like really sitting and taking some time around some of your things that you're catching and deciding, here's like what I want to believe about me. Here are the things I want to think about me. This is where you get to be unicorn. This is where you get to be pie in the sky. Okay. And this isn't so that those thoughts go away. It is so that you have made so many decisions about how you want to think about yourself. You've written about it. And I do a lot of this. I write about, this is the person I want to be. And this person, if she's doing these things, that means she's having to think and feel these things. Like she's creating these thoughts and feelings on purpose. So when you have that, it just makes it easier that in the moments that your old thinking comes up, that you have something to access. If you don't do that work, I will tell all of you, it is really hard to pivot in the moment to come up with a brand new thought if you've never thought about what you want to think before. It's just hard. You're asking a lot of your brain in that moment. It's like, hey, you're sending up automatic shit thoughts. Here's what I want you to do. Be creative. I want you to suddenly have to sit and think about how you would like to think about this. It's just a big cognitive load. But when you do some of this stuff ahead of time, like if you want to say, I no longer overeat, overeating. I know it's a crazy sentence, but it totally makes sense. Think about it. Basically, I no longer fuck it eat when I overeat. And you want to become that person. You have to think about like, all right, if I'm going to be someone who no longer overeats because they overate, what do I need to think in that moment when I catch myself? This is not as bad as I think it is. There's no reason to catastrophize this. A part of me knows to stop, even though everything else is screaming, I've already fucked up. Thoughts like that are the ones you want to practice ahead of time. And you want to come up with them ahead of time. It does not mean they'll be easy to access in the moment, but you stand a better chance. And I am all about trying to put us in a position to win as often as possible. It's easy to listen to the calls. It's productive to do the work when I ask you to do it. So the work for this call is to sit and just spend some time in the next week. And I mean like 5 to 10 minutes, tack it on, like pick out one day where you make a 24-hour plan where you have a little bit more time than other days. That could be a Saturday morning. You might want to wake up early one day just to do this. And you spend 5 or 10 minutes to think about like, what is something that I repeatedly do that I know is not helpful for weight loss. And not only do I want to eventually stop that behavior, but what is the thinking required all around it? Because here's like, if you're a fuck it eater, here's where you're not going to be able to turn that off on a dime. You can't afford to think this. I just don't do that anymore. Because odds are your brain's not going to believe it. It's like, look, bitch, we've been fucking eating for 25 years. Just because you heard a call and you decide to start telling yourself, I'm not doing this anymore, does not mean that that's going to happen. So you might need to be someone who says, I am learning to not do this anymore. So I'm going to need a crop of thoughts that someone who's learning to not fucking eat anymore uses in the moment. So I'm going to need thoughts for when I catch myself doing it. I'm going to need thoughts for when it's happened. Like, I've got to change the entire person. There is the person who starts it. There's the person who's in the middle of it. There is the person who has completed it. And every one of these versions of me deserves thinking that's leveled up and better than what I currently think if I want to change it. Because most of you go from, like, I'm a fuck it eater, and then, like, I just want all the thoughts, Corinne, that will never make me do that again. Good fucking luck. I can't do that for you. That would be like somebody smashing my right hand, and I'd be like, can you give me the thoughts on how I'm going to be able to write perfectly with my left hand? Starting, you know, in 10 minutes. Even though I spent 50 years writing with my right hand, it's not going to happen. That is not the way the brain works. So if you've been fuck it eating, we want to one day no longer do that. But between here and there, we have a reduction in fuck it eating, which means the next time you do it, you have to change the way it ends so that you can quit trying to set yourself up for being someone who's like, I'm either doing it or I'm not. You have to set yourself up to be the kind of person who's learning why you tend to fuck it eat when you make a mistake. And the only way that you're ever going to be able to fix it is you have to set yourself up to figure that person out. So for all of you, think ahead. Look for, like, just pick one thing that goes on inside of your eating, inside of your weight loss. Don't pick all of them. Pick one thing and think about, what do I want to be thinking about that? What are all the different thoughts? What is the ideal? But what is the next thought too? Like, what goes on all around her? What are all the little places that I can make improvements? Not just trying to get to perfect, but when she's not perfect and she's trying to do that, how do I want to, what is the relationship with her? What is the thoughts I have for her going forward? All right. And just like that, one of the cats came in and is acting like a fool underneath the desk. So, but it is time. I will see everybody on Sunday for coaching. We have all the coaching on, we have weight loss and life coaching with me on Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. Central. Cannot wait to see you all there. All you have to do is raise your hand for coaching on Sunday. Make sure you come. If you loved this call, please make sure you talk about it in the Facebook group. It always helps me to know what's landing. So if you talk about what you learned, not just what you learned, but what you're going to do. This is what I would love. A lot of you go and you're like, I love that call. Here's what I want to know. What did you love about it? But how are you implementing it? It's not enough to just love the calls, y'all. We have to implement the calls. So pick something you got out of today and then tell me what you're going to do with it. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.